Hey guys, we are back once again, and today we are doing Brango. I am Jen.
I am Barry.
And might as well just jump right on into it. Oh, before we do that, you had some information about we're getting more popular by the day. Thank goodness.
Yeah, so our statistics are really going up, and we've now been downloaded in 9 different countries.
Very nice.
So, of course, the U.S. is obviously our big place. But our Canadian friends are also downloading
our
us.
Australian friends.
Australian, Irish. Russian, Ireland, Germany,
Korea.
South Korea, South Africa.
Very nice.
All over the place.
Okay, so guys, appreciate it. We appreciate y'all. I mean, that's why we're doing this. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Give y'all some
awesome
entertaining. You know, give you an hour of entertainment per week.
Yeah.
Not a big deal, but hey, we do appreciate y'all. So thank you so much.
Yeah.
All right, and we are doing Rango, continuing with the animation, because we started last week with Pirate Fairy. Don't
yeah
comment.
Yeah. Now we're moving over to the Johnny side of animation.
Now we're moving over to the Johnny side of animation. And I was wrong. I feel so bad. I said that Johnny only had 3 animations.
Mm-hmm.
I said those 3 were Corpse Bride.
Right.
Rango and the series Puffins.
Right.
Missed the big one. I feel so bad because it's one of my favorite SpongeBob episodes.
Yes.
The when he plays the big kahuna in the 2-part SpongeBob.
Yeah, I remember they hyped it a lot, you know, that Johnny Depp was going to be on the voice of it. And I know it was one of your favorites, but
yes.
I was disappointed when the episode actually hit because it didn't sound as much like him as I was expecting.
But that's it. It is him.
I know, but you know, like when it was over, I remember just going, was that actually him?
Yeah.
Because I was like, I couldn't tell.
Yeah,
but
he probably, had a little bit of relaxation going on before,
yeah,
before he recorded. But now this film, your normal window for voice recording for any feature film.
Right.
Is usually somewhere between 3 and 6 months.
Yeah.
That sounds standard. I mean, you don't have to worry about hair and makeup. You don't have to worry about costume. You don't have to worry about set design. You just have to worry about getting up and talking.
Right.
That's it. So, I could see that. However, Johnny did this movie in 20 days. He had a 20-day window to record everything that needed to be recorded for this movie. So, kudos, man.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder how long those days were.
I don't even want to guess. I mean,
yeah,
that had to be hellish.
Because, I mean, I don't know. I've never really heard whether or not he's an actor who takes, you know, some actors I know take many takes. Some actors are like one take. They usually have it.
It depends on the character with him.
Yeah.
If it's a character that he slides into easily.
Right.
A lot of times he's the one take wonder.
Okay.
And it's, you know, it's the other actors and the other variables that determine how many takes it's going to be, because he's got it pitch perfect from the beginning.
Right.
But if it's, you know, if it's one of those roles that he's not real comfortable with, or he's not, you know, he doesn't fit into very well, sometimes it takes more.
So this is actually totally unrelated to anything about the show today. But I do think we should mention it.
Okay.
Oh,
like this is different from any other show we've ever done.
There you go.
Go right ahead.
So Bruce Willis, you know, an actor.
Yes.
Yeah. He's been in some of my favorite films, especially Die Hard. You know, the past couple of years, he's been making like an enormous number of straight to streaming movies.
Yes.
And a lot of people have been kind of making fun of him for it. And then last week or so, there were suddenly all these rumors that he was attempting to make as many movies as possible because he was unwell.
Oh, no!
And so today, it was not a statement put out by him. It was put out by his family. It was put out by Rumor and Demi and all of his siblings and stuff. And they said that that he was going to be stepping away from acting.
Oh, no.
Because he has a very severe case of aphasia. And
for those who don't know what aphasia is,
right, it's like, you know, it's you have difficulty recalling things, but in severe cases, and they mentioned that this is the kind he's having, it can really impair your cognitive abilities. It can make it difficult for you to even carry on conversations or to, you know, take care of yourself.
Well, and our hearts go out to you, Bruce. Man, we'll thank you.
So apparently one of the reasons he's been working even in some very low quality films was apparently to try and make as much money as possible before he couldn't act anymore.
To bank it. But yeah, when he can't make,
and so he's 67, so he's a little bit older than Johnny, but
he is a bit older.
Yeah, but I mean, all these actors, you know, as they get older, so I think sometimes we just take it for granted that they'll be, you know, working until they're 80 or 90, Patrick Stewart, and a lot of them they can't.
Anthony Hopkins or Sean Connery.
Yeah,
you know,
but yeah, I mean, for a lot of them, things happen just like for anybody else.
It's called
so.
Life.
Yeah,
life is what happens in between the station breaks.
Yeah. So for somebody, you know, hopefully Johnny will have another 40 years worth of movies.
Oh, God, yes.
But, you have to enjoy what he has.
My kids are going
to
be watching brand new Johnny Depp movies.
Yeah. Well, let's hope so. Let's hope so. Hopefully, you know, he'll start getting great roles again soon.
Well, he's actually done I think he's done really well in the roles that he's taken.
Yeah.
But a lot of the movies that I like, other people are like, really? Ew. Transcendence, I thought, was absolutely amazing.
Yeah, I enjoyed
it. Just the thought behind that movie. I mean, it grabs you. What if you could download your cognitive thought?
Yeah.
You know, what if you could download what is essentially you and save it, preserve it?
Well, you know, I mean, I love
it's insane.
Ninth Gate. I mean, it was not a popular film.
Right. Yeah. Ninth Gate was a great one. But, you know, I know Transcendence got a lot of crap.
Oh, yeah.
But I really, really enjoyed it. I thought it was a great movie. I thought it was a great premise. But, yeah. So, he's done well with the choices that he's had.
Right.
As far as what movies to do. But anyway, let's get back to Rango.
Yeah.
Now, this is a 2011 animated feature film. It was directed by Gore Verbinski.
That name is familiar to me.
It should be. Gore is the one who directed the first three Pirates movies.
Yeah.
So he, of course, had worked with Johnny before this. This is the fourth film he worked with Johnny on. You've also got another Pirates alumni in the cast of Rango, and that is, okay, you're going to have to pronounce the name. Bill Nighy?
Yeah, Bill Nye. I think it's how you say it. Nighy? I don't know.
But yeah.
I'm just making it. I don't know.
Same one that played Victor in Underworld. Same one who played Davy Jones in
Pirates. He's a tremendous actor. I just never say his name out loud.
Oh, he's amazing.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he played Rattle. He did the voice for Rattlesnake Jake.
Mm-hmm.
And Rango. Then you've got Isla Fisher.
Yeah.
As Beans.
Right.
And Ned Beatty as the mayor. Now, there are several other names, but not like huge.
Yeah.
This is one of the only animated features to not employ not the first straight voice actor. Meaning that all they do is voice acting.
Oh, I thought you meant that all these people were bi or something, and I'm like,
say straight voice acting. That means it's all they do.
Okay, all right. I was like, I had not come across this bit of information at all.
Yeah, no.
Okay. I mean, did you realize when you were saying it what it sounded like?
No, not until you gave me the look.
Okay, I was blown away. I was like, how did I not know this? And plus, I was like, what, Johnny's not straight?
As far as I know, he's straight.
Yeah, as far as I know, I was like, this is like bombshell information. You're just like dropping it on Rango.
I just buried the lead.
Yeah, no, I'm like, no, shit, how have we never talked about this?
Oh, please. If it was out there, we'd be talking about it.
Okay, all right, wow. Okay. All right, let me settle back down because I was just like, okay, all right.
Now, this is another film where the critics and the...
I'm still stunned. Okay.
Nah, snap out of it. Come on.
Okay.
We don't want to hear about the fantasies running through your putrid little mind.
All right. All right, so you started to say something about critics.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Critics and fans agreed on this movie.
Yeah.
IMDb gave it a 7.2 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes gave it an 88%. And Metacritic, which is the combination of all of your different critics, is a 75%. Whereas audience was about an 85-88% as far as. The budget for this film was $135 million. Box office brought in $245.7
million. Wow.
So.
Yeah, I knew it was a very popular film. And that it did very well. I know it did well at the Academy Awards. I don't know if it won anything else.
It did very well at the Oscars as well.
Yeah, that's what I meant. The Academy Awards, yeah.
Two different.
The Oscars? The Oscars are what they give out at the Academy Awards. Yeah.
We've had this conversation before.
That's the name of the statue. It's the Oscar.
Lovely.
Yeah.
All right.
But I didn't know if it had won like Golden Globes or anything.
Well, I do not know. I just know that they switch back and forth between the Oscar Awards and the Academy Awards on my trivia sheet. So that's why I kind of separated them.
Yeah, it's the same thing. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Now, this is a very unusual film in the way it was recorded. Usually when you have the actors do the voiceovers, they go into the studio, they go into a sound booth, they're in isolation, they're by themselves,
right,
with a microphone, and they just record the voice. That's it. That's what they're there for. That's what they do.
Right.
This film, however, they actually used a mini set, and they had all of the actors and actresses on set together, interacting with each other, acting out, you know, kind of like, I think I said this before, kind of like a kindergartner, you know, kindergarten class, you know, doing their first play.
Yeah.
No costumes, no makeup, no hair, no none of that. But they would act and react together, which gave a better vibe, a better feel, a better flow.
Yeah, I would think it'd make your performance
to the way that
to actually be playing off people,
right,
than just what you imagine they'll be saying.
Right.
Yeah.
And it also gave the opportunity for improv, which Johnny is famous for. For interjecting his little comments here and there.
Right.
Like the jar of dirt. The jar of dirt comment.
Yeah.
I get a jar of dirt. Yeah, that was all improv.
Yeah.
So the look on Keira Knightley and Orlando Bloom's faces, when they're looking at him and then looking like to the director and then looking back at him going, what the hell? Yeah, right. That was all, none of that was practice, none of it was staged. It was all real.
Yeah.
But
Speaking of the Oscars, Johnny's film.
Boy.
Well, no, we're not going to get into all that.
Oh, okay.
But Johnny's film, what was it? Miyamata?
Minimata
was up for the basically, I guess it was the fan favorite award.
Right.
It did not win it.
That's a shame.
But it was up for it. I was waiting to see.
Nominated. I'm really glad to hear that.
Yeah, I was waiting to see if it got enough fan votes, but it didn't. So.
Well, it happens. Johnny knows that his fans are behind him 110%, and that's really all we need.
Yeah.
But I think it's awesome that he's decided to, instead of just ditching the career and hiding out for a little while until other issues blow over.
Yeah.
That he's actually gone and decided to record in other parts of the world.
Yeah, I mean, well, I guess we're getting off the Ringo subject, but I think what he should do.
Oh, please, anybody who's ever been to the real Wild West knows it ain't got no connection with the U.S. whatsoever. It's still another part of the world, so we're right on track. Yeah. Right on track, right on target.
I think that what he should do is the same thing, and ultimately, not to compare their situations, because I actually think that the thing involving Mel Gibson was worse, because Mel Gibson did say anti-Semitic things and was an asshole. But I think the way he went about his career rehabilitation is the way that Johnny should approach it too, which is to take some supporting cast roles, kind of character things where he's not like the superstar in it, and get people just used to, oh yeah, there he is. Oh, well, look, it's Johnny Depp. And then you kind of make him, you know, a co-star. The then you make him the lead again.
Is you have to have the support of your film, you know, your filmmakers, your producers, your directors, and a lot. Yeah, they don't want to see Johnny Depp
yeah.
in the background. They want to see him right out up front. And if he's not right out up front, then what's the point?
Well, no, I just think, I think it would be good for Johnny's career just in general, to be honest with you.
I think it would be great. I'm saying you have to have the support of the other parts of the filmmaking industry, which right now, they want him out front or not at all. So,
I don't know. I don't know about that.
I think
he's got enough friends that he could do some, like, background stuff.
Really great behind the camera. Producing, directing.
Yeah. I'd be interested in seeing him direct something. I wonder how that would be.
Okay, so there's several movies out there that he has directed. They're just not available here in the U.S.
Really?
Yes. The Brave.
Okay, he directed The Brave?
He wrote, if I remember correctly, he wrote, co-wrote, starred, and either directed or produced
The Brave. Okay. So, all right. Well,
if I'm remembering correctly, I'll have to check on that one. But yeah, there's several things out there that he's been behind the camera on.
Okay.
They're just, there's not much here in the States.
Right.
Because, you know, here in the States, everybody has their place and everybody is expected to stay in it.
Yeah.
But, you know, not so much elsewhere.
So with this particular film, I mean, was the role written with Johnny in mind, or was he kind of brought in?
That was never actually, I've not picked up anything on that, that particular point. However, looking at the different scenes, this was always a nod to Johnny Depp's career.
Period. Yeah.
There are so many different little
Easter eggs.
When he gets thrown out of the car at the beginning, he lands on the windshield of a red convertible. Well, if you pay attention, the driver, the passenger, the car, hang on. Let me find it. Give me just a second.
They're all from that Hunter S. Thompson movie, right?
They are all from Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
But yeah, everything is, it's all patterned after Johnny Depp's character in the movie Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. Now, and then there's another nod to another character of his. Once again, close to the beginning, he makes the statement that he will become the greatest lover the world has ever known.
Oh, yeah.
And that is a nod to Don Juan DeMarco.
Right.
Johnny Depp plays a mental patient who actually believes he is the fictitious Don Juan.
Right.
Who was the greatest lover in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, there's several different things that play off of other characters that Johnny has played.
That's cool.
But Johnny's not the only one.
Mm-hmm.
They do some nods to the old westerns, Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, I heard that there's a lot of references.
John Wayne.
Yeah.
I know True Grit is one of the movies that they give a nod to.
Right.
They comment, Rango comments about The Man with No Name.
Mm-hmm.
That was Eastwood.
Right.
That was how Eastwood's western persona was often described back in the day.
Like a fistful of dollars.
Right.
The good band,
no name.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's very widely, you know, there's all kinds of little bits and pieces that are kind of a nod to other films, other artists, other genres, but it just comes together in such a perfect little package. It's awesome.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty clever film. I didn't see it in the theaters. To be honest with you, the trailers, I remember when it was out, I was like, I don't know.
It's cute.
Well, it didn't look like anything I felt I needed to spend like theater money on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. I wasn't positive how good it was going to be. And then eventually we rented it and I was like, okay, it's actually a good movie.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously everybody else thought it was a good movie too. It won the Academy Awards and stuff. But yeah, it was just really clever. It's different than, it's not a Disney film. I mean, I'd say that, families can enjoy it. But I think there's a lot of adult humor. It just had a lot of adult sensibility to it.
The Sacramento, California-based anti-smoking organization.
Yeah.
Breathe California. They regarded the film as a public health hazard. They literally petitioned to have this film rated R.
Because of the smoking?
Instead of PG. Because of all the smoking, there were at least 60 instances of smoking throughout the film. And it's not just that. It's the adult humor. It's the jokes. It's the references to movies from 1969. Things like that that kids are not going to get.
Yeah, yeah. I remember my son watching it when he was younger, and he was bored by parts of it.
Right.
But then other parts he liked a lot.
Right.
However,
the after campaigning to have the rating changed, the rating board actually stood up with their decision, and no changes were made, so it maintained its PG rating. This is the first time since Happy Feet 2006 that the Oscar for Best Animated Film did not go to either Disney or Pixar.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know the next one was 2018, right, with the Into the Spider-Verse?
Yeah, Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
A couple of little Easter eggs that if you're not paying attention, you'll miss. Let's see. Trying to find when they walk through the little graveyard.
Mm-hmm.
There is, you see a couple of the headstones. One of the headstones in the graveyard is a nod to Leonard Bones McCoy in the original Star Trek. It reads, "He's dead, Jim."
Nice.
And anybody who remembers the original Star Trek, that was Bones. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's worse than that, he's dead, Jim. Dead, Jim. Dead, Jim. It's worse than that, he's dead, Jim. Sorry. Star Trek in across the universe.
Yeah.
Oh, I am so sorry. I missed another one.
What?
That makes 5 animated.
What's the other one?
Sherlock Gnomes.
Oh, yes, yes,
yes. 2018, he is actually...
He's Sherlock.
He's actually watched, because anybody who knows Johnny Depp or has listened to him talk knows that he does not watch his own films. Once they say cut and he's done with the film. That's
right.
It. He has no interest in watching it. He goes to the previews because he's forced to. And usually ends up leaving before they ever roll film.
Okay.
He shows up for the red carpet and he shows up for the after, but right. It makes him sick to his stomach to watch himself on film.
I mean, I can see that.
However, this one, Corpse Bride and Sherlock Gnomes are 3 movies that he will admit to watching with his children and really enjoying them.
Nice.
And that could also be, he's able to disassociate from the character because it's not his face.
Right.
Up on screen. So, maybe that makes it a little easier for him to watch.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's here we go. A couple of the epitaphs on the headstones. Sheriff Kippy, rest in pieces. Sheriff Tucker, hold my beer and watch this. Sheriff Amos, Thursday through Saturday, rest in peace.
Okay.
Don't ask me about that one because I have no clue.
Wow.
Now, this is also the first animated feature produced by Industrial Light & Magic.
Hmm.
which is, you know, of course, the whole Star Wars deal. And another nod to different films, different characters. When, after Rango meets the Spirit of the West, which is obviously modeled after Clint Eastwood.
Right.
He takes a smoldering stick, like a smudge stick.
Right.
And is drawing in the air, trying to describe his meeting with the Spirit of the West to the townsfolk. And if you're paying attention, you can see in the smoke, as he's describing everything, you can see the KISS logo, the rock band KISS, an Imperial TIE fighter from Star Wars, a shark fin, a dinosaur, and a Kirby Was Here sign.
Nice.
So, and that's all just in the, you know, in the smoke figures that come out. And, you know, we see a lot of that in Disney movies.
Yeah.
However, the ones we see in Disney movies are not near as, what's the word? Nice, easy, fun.
Yeah.
Family friendly.
Yeah, because I mean,
kid friendly.
I know there's like the one where the smoke does sex.
That's in, no, it's not the smoke, it's the pollen from the flowers in Lion King.
Is it pollen?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's either the flower heads or the pollen, one of the two, because he flops down into the head.
Okay.
And it puffs up.
All right. Yeah.
So. But yeah, you see sex in that one, and then of course there is the infamous penis on the castle in Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
That artist, however, was actually discovered and fired, unfortunately.
Oh.
Yeah, they found out who did it and fired him.
Yeah.
Which I think they're taking way too much offense to, you know, something that most people, you'd have to point it out to them and then like literally like draw it out for them to understand what they're looking at.
Right.
So, okay.
Yeah.
And several of these characters are not mentioned by name in the film.
Yeah. So you were mentioning this to me earlier, and you were using character names, and I was like, I guess they're just from the script?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're from the script, from the credits.
Okay.
You have the little mouse, little desert mouse.
Right.
She's Priscilla. She's never referred to as Priscilla. As a matter of fact, Rango refers to her often as little sister, which is a nod to True Grit. That is what... Rooster Cogburn refers to Maddie, I believe.
Yeah, I think that was her name.
Maddie Ross.
Yeah.
In True Grit. That's a 1969 release.
Yeah.
So, and then you've got...
That and the remake are both great films.
Oh, True Grit is amazing. Rooster Cogburn is one of my biggest heroes ever.
Yeah.
As far as fictitious characters go.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Love him. And then you've got, you've got a couple more. The mole.
Yeah.
His name is Balthazar. He's never referred to by name.
Yeah.
And there's one other. Let's see. Roadkill. How can I forget Roadkill?
Yeah, the Roadkill.
Armadillo. Roadkill.
Yeah.
Is never referred to by name.
Hmm. Yeah, that's a great name for a armadillo.
Oh, yeah. I wonder if it's the same armadillo that broke into his hotel room.
Oh, yeah. That could be another Easter egg.
It could be.
Yeah.
Except for the fact that he was, like, squished in half, but, you know.
True. Yeah.
And do me a favor. Look up something for me real quick.
All right. What's that?
Look up Dead Man's Hand. I know it's Aces and Eights.
Okay.
I know it's Aces and Eights, but I thought it was a full house. Aces and Eights.
All right.
Apparently not. According to this, the owl in the top hat playing poker.
Right.
Is holding a dead man's head. Pair of aces and a pair of eights.
Yeah, it's a pair of aces and a pair of eights.
Okay, so I was wrong.
Yeah.
All right. I sit corrected. But
although it does say
black aces and black eights.
Yeah, it does say that the makeup has varied through the years.
Okay.
Currently, It is described as a two-pair poker hand consisting of black aces and black
and
eights.
And black eights.
Yeah. So.
So, all right. Oh, there we have it.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's actually holding a dead man's hand. And when the camera pans, if you look at his cheesecloths,
mm-hmm.
you see a skull and crossbones.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, so more little Easter eggs there for you.
Now, at first, I was kind of thinking, you know, because the movie was popular enough, I was wondering why they never talked about doing a sequel. But I'm not sure that Gore Verbinski enjoyed it enough to do a sequel. Because I know that Nickelodeon had to, like, step in at the end.
Yeah, they consider this a Nickelodeon film. Yeah.
Yeah, because, like, apparently the financing he had got almost ran out. And I saw some quote from him somewhere where he was basically saying that...
Yep. Okay, but
he was kind of talking about the problems with animation these days, you know, and the how slow it is and expensive it is. Because I know at one point they talked about doing it as a 3D film instead of 2D,
right?
But he said that 3D would have been way too expensive, and he didn't want to do what he called half-ass 3D. So,
all right. This is not a quote,
uh-huh.
but this actually is a nod to that. Verbinski was looking to make something a little bit low key, you know, something a little bit more mellow, something a little bit easier than after dealing with the three absolutely
right.
humongous Pirates of the Caribbean films. You know, he was hoping to do something a little bit more low key than that. But he had completely underestimated the rigors of the animation and the special effects and such that go into all of that. So,
right.
Yeah, he really honestly had no idea what he was stepping into. Yeah. This was his first animated feature, and if I'm not mistaken, it very possibly is his last animated feature.
Of course, I mean, if you're only going to do one and it wins an Academy Award.
Yeah, there you go.
You know.
But yeah, 2011 Rango is the first Nickelodeon film to win the best animated feature film since Jimmy Neutron, Boy Genius. And that was in 2001. That did not win, though. It was nominated.
Oh, yeah, I was about to say, I didn't.
Lost out to Shrek.
Okay.
But it's the first Nickelodeon film to be nominated. Since Jimmy Neutron in 2001.
Wow.
So.
I didn't know the Jimmy Neutron film had been nominated.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah. Oh my goodness.
I mean, I like Jimmy Neutron. I just didn't realize it was, you know, Academy material.
Oh, yeah.
Hmm.
And, oh, here's another thing that I thought was really cool because it combined two different films.
Uh-huh.
Now, the Pursuit scene in the canyon. Visually, it draws from the Death Star attack in Star Wars, the original right. 1977 release.
Right.
But the score, the music behind it, do you remember what music that is?
No.
Okay. It actually parallels that of the helicopter attack in Apocalypse Now, which was a 1979 release.
Hmm.
So they use the visuals from Star Wars.
Right.
And the music from Apocalypse Now. It was brilliant.
Huh.
Very, very cool.
Yeah.
The music, however, you know, is Ride of the Valkyries.
Okay. Ride.
So.
Now, Verbinski and Depp teamed up on Lone Ranger after this, right?
Yes, they did. That was 2013, if I'm not mistaken.
I think that was their last collaboration.
That's the last one I have note of.
And you know, a lot of people hated Lone Ranger. I liked it. I enjoyed it.
Well, see, there again, that is Johnny stepping down out of the starring role and taking a supporting role
right.
as well. However, it's Johnny Depp. He stole the show.
Well,
and not that he intended to, not that he meant to.
Yeah.
But the character stole the show. He just did. He walked away with it.
Well, and I know there was a lot of criticism at the time, you know, Johnny Depp playing a Native American, even though he has some Native American ancestry.
Varies. It varies depending on who you talk to.
Yeah.
Depp claims Native American heritage. However, other ancestry, like, you know, through his mom and different things, say no, that it's more German, Irish, English,
right.
Spanish. So, but he, you wouldn't, I wouldn't doubt him if he said he had Native. Please look at that man.
Right.
Brown eyes, that deep brown hair, and that gorgeous skin. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely see the Native American there.
But yeah, I thought they did some really cute things with Ringo's eyes in this. His eyes, they animated very well.
They did, and of course they did use an actual gecko for the visual.
The inspiration.
For the inspiration, the reference.
Right.
And with all of the Old West flavor that they brought in, you know, Clint Eastwood and all this.
Right.
Well, you never really see anything more than a shadow when you see the Spirit of the West. But you do see he's driving a golf cart.
Yeah.
And if you're paying attention, what's in the back of the golf cart?
I don't know.
Five little golden statuette awards. Now, Rango calls them the golden, or he's called them golden guardians. Golden guardians.
Okay.
Well, Clint Eastwood actually won 5 Academy Awards, 5 Oscars.
Okay. So.
For various different roles throughout his career. Okay. So that's where the 5 awards come from there.
Well, I'm glad they made the movie when they did. And just went ahead and did that as their reference to him. Because, you know, later on they could have done, like, I don't know, the thing with him talking to the chair. You know, the RNC.
What?
Yeah, the Republican National Convention, you know, when he talked to the chair.
Oh,
God. Yeah, anyway, it was ridiculous.
Yeah, well, you know.
Yeah.
We're not getting into the politics of it. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Although I have been known to, you know, talk to inanimate objects quite often.
Yeah.
I threaten my computer on a daily basis, and if I don't threaten it, it doesn't act right. So.
There you go. All right.
But let's see, what else have we got? Sacramento, California anti-smoking organization was not the only one to bitch about the rating.
Okay.
About it being a PG. Rated film. Give me a second and I will find the other one. But several of the parental organizations bitched about the rating because of the adult jokes. And I think someone said something about like a sexual flavor to it.
Okay.
I'm trying to find it. Give me just a second. Oh, and the violence. Here we go. Parent users of Common Sense Media. We're not even going to get started on that one because common sense is a flower that does not grow in everyone's garden. We'll just leave it at that.
Okay.
Common Sense Media, they slammed the film on its release, saying it depicted numerous scenes of drinking, smoking, contained strong language, violence, the sexual references, that it should have had at least a PG-13 rating. But once again, the rating and review board stood by their decision and it maintained its PG-13 rating. So guys, I'm only going to say this once, probably not. I'll probably say it many times, but loosen up. God, it's a cartoon. These kids are not going to pick up on this stuff anyway. Relax.
You know, I don't have any memory of these things at all, but apparently there were 2 different electronic spinoffs from the movie. There was an EA Games video game.
Right.
And then there was also something called Rango the World.
Yes.
Which was a browser-based virtual world set in the Rango universe.
Yeah.
I have no memory of this at all.
However, even with both of those things, this is the only Nickelodeon winner of the Best Animated Feature that did not end up in a TV series.
So every other Nickelodeon film spun off into a TV series.
Yep.
Okay.
Let me find it. I got it in my notes. Hang on. I really need to get organized.
I mean, that kind of makes sense, though. I mean, Nickelodeon, primarily a TV studio, you know. They'd want to spin things off, I guess.
Yeah, but yeah, they, All right. And I'm not finding it. I know I wrote it down, guys. I promise you I did. And I'm not seeing it anywhere, of course.
I know that Rango's name is an homage to
two different films.
Yeah, it's a combination of Django and Ringo. I think it was. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, from A Pistol for Ringo, I think was the movie. Yes. So Ringo and Django make Rango.
Yep.
Yeah.
And yep, A Pistol for Ringo in 1965 and Django.
Yeah.
And that Django was 2000.
Well, Django Unchained is actually in homage also to the Django films, right, which are in the '60s. Yeah,
right.
So they were in the '60s also.
But yeah, that's let's see. There was a deleted role that Tom Kenny. Tom Kenny did the voice of for Chicken Craig.
That's the SpongeBob guy, right?
Tom Kenny? Yeah.
Yeah.
He never made it to the final cut. Someone else who never made it to the final cut, Cedric the Entertainer, did a voice for this film that got cut before the final release.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, here we go. I found it, guys. This is the first animated film by Nickelodeon not to go to a TV series eventually, and to not star any, quote, straight voice actors. Meaning they only do voice acting.
Right, okay. I'm sure that would have been news to them, too, if they had, like, announced that story. Yeah. It's the first film without any straight voice actors. I'm sure people would be looking at each other like, huh. Maybe their spouses too might be like, all right.
The EA game.
Yeah.
That was released. I don't have a year on it, but it was E10 Plus for everyone 10 and up. It was released for the PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, Nintendo DS, and the Wii.
I assume it's just an adaptation of the movie, in terms of, or it's not like a sequel plot or anything.
I have no idea. Yeah. I've never even seen the game. Now, my sister is a big movies-to-game buff, whether it's Lego or Scooby-Doo or,
right,
you know, Star Wars or Lord of the Rings. It doesn't matter. She's really into Marvel. God knows she has every Marvel game that ever came out. But so I can always ask her.
Okay.
As if it was out there, if it was possible for her to play it, she'd have had it.
Yeah.
So, John Krasinski.
Right.
Also had a role that ended up on the cutting room floor. Right. Frog Fritz.
Okay. I wonder if any of these characters are still seen in the film, even if they don't have speaking parts now.
I don't know.
Yeah. That's interesting. That's
definitely something. Maybe we ought to watch the film and see if we can spot any of these little critters.
For those of you who are looking for to stream it, we have most of the streaming services, and at present
even if we don't, it'll say stream for free on that.
Right, but yeah, this one was available for rent and purchase as of last night, which was the 29th of March.
Right. So, happy birthday, Timmy.
Yes, yesterday was Jen's birthday. No visitation from either Johnny or Tom.
Or Tom. Yeah. Damn it.
I know you stayed up late.
I did.
You know, kind of hoping they would come down the chimney.
Which we don't have.
Yeah. But,
hey, just not knock on the door, a ring from my phone, that would be great.
But you did get the hollow crown.
I did get the hollow crown. That was excellent. Definitely. Can't wait.
Yeah.
And he's only in two of the three.
Yeah.
Movies, which I thought he was in all three, but he's in two of the three, so that's good enough.
Yeah.
But yeah, the closest we ever get to seeing Tom in actual, you know, pirate gear is in the Hollow Crown.
Well, unless you count, the pirate
gear. That is not Tom Hiddleston. That is his voice, not his body. Thank you.
All right.
But no, you actually get to see him in the leather pants and the buckler across the waist and the sword and,
right,
you know, the very loose blousy shirt. So it's the closest we get to the pirate Tom that we all want. another thing that was actually really kind of cool in this movie, the depiction of the Wild West era handguns was actually very accurate. The models that were used in the film are easily recognizable compared to their real life counterparts. You can tell what gun is what. The only major errors, and of course, artistic license.
Right.
The single action revolvers depicted in the film. Those are the ones you have to pull back the hammer every time you want to fire.
Right.
Okay. Those are able to function in double action mode. Does not, and it did not require cocking the gun to fire.
Gotcha.
But artistic licensing. The predominant revolver in the film was the Colt Single Action Army, better known as the Peacemaker.
Right.
Is depicted as having a swing out cylinder, when in reality the cylinder is actually fixed into place and you have to spin it to load it.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah. So, but they actually depicted the guns very, very accurately in the film, which, a lot of animation, you don't see that kind of dedicated detail.
Right. Yeah.
So, because, hey, kids are not going to look at it and go, well, actually, well, it looks like this kind of gun, but it's acting like this kind of gun, and it fires like this kind of gun. So, kids aren't going to. That.
Yeah.
Most. My daughter probably at 6 or 8 probably would have, but she's weird anyway, so.
All right. Well, I think it's good to go down a kind of one of his most successful films, but one that you don't often hear about in, Johnny Depp's catalog of films.
Right. So. Well, it's because you don't see his face.
Yeah.
And, yes, I love the way Johnny looks. I think he is one of the most beautiful creatures I have ever seen in my life.
Right.
But that's not his only attribute. He's an amazing actor. He has such a way of getting the thoughts and ideas across through his acting. And, the expressions on his face and the different... And the way they did this film allowed for those expressions to be seen, even though it wasn't his face you were seeing.
Right.
So, the...
Yeah, I mean, the mannerisms and everything were very Johnny Depp-like. Yeah.
And so, a lot of people kind of pass this movie over because you don't get to see that pretty face.
Right.
But that's exactly why you should pay attention to it, because it's still... Johnny Depp. There is no doubt. There's no question. And it's still just as brilliant a movie and just as brilliant a character portrayal as Captain Jack Sparrow.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're at almost 50 minutes.
Okay. So, well, I guess that's telling me it's time to wrap things up.
Yeah, we're getting there. Now, before we move on to what we're doing next week, we do now have a Facebook page.
We do.
Pants and Hiddle Stars.
We have a Facebook group.
Yes, it's a group. Facebook group.
Facebook group. Not just, because the page is Jen Barry.
Right, yeah.
But the Facebook group is Deb Heads and Hiddle Stoners. Right now, I've got invitations out to pretty much everyone I know. If you're not friends with me on Facebook, that's why you haven't gotten an invitation. So, don't wait. come on, join the group. No problem. Just click on us, hit join, and we'll be there for you.
Yeah, and we, you know, of course, we still have the website,
right.
Even though
the website,
even though the blog's not being updated very often.
We're trying.
Yeah,
I know. I'm very trying. Keep on. I'm gonna get even more trying.
But
we're
yeah.
working on it, guys. I don't like to post like little minute, you know, things that nobody else. If you're not going to be interested in it, why would I post it? So,
but if these, no offense to any of our listeners, but I mean, you're lunatics like us, the kind of lunatics who are going to be listening to this podcast, there is no minutia.
This is true. Okay, so I'll try to do better, guys. I do apologize. I still have to post that frigging video for Tom, though.
Which one?
The one song that makes me think of Tom Hiddleston every time I hear it.
Oh, yeah.
It's a very old song called Shoot, done by Salt and Pepper.
Yep, I know that song.
Yup. You better thank your mother for a butt like that. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Anyway, but yeah, I've got to post that. There's a few other things. Apparently people are liking the post about the statue.
Really?
Has
it been getting some hits?
A few.
All right.
But yeah, we're out there. Of course, the email address has not changed. debheadsandhiddlestoners@yahoo.com.
Yeah.
Website, debheadshiddlestoners.com. Or you can go to barryreese.net and find us that way.
Yeah.
Contact us. Get a hold of us. Tell us what you like. Tell us what you don't like.
But mainly what you like.
Well, tell us what you don't like, too, right? If it sounds like something that we can cut out, hey, we just might.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and if there's something that we haven't done, we haven't gone over, something you want to see, we're going to start branching out now, I think. We're going to start including some interviews, some TV commercials, little tidbits and trivia behind some of those. I am still in the process of verifying a rumor about the Sauvage commercials.
Okay.
So I have gone through the rabbit hole on this one, guys. I'm telling you, yes, Alice in Wonderland reference.
Yeah.
But definitely gone through the rabbit hole on this one, and I still have not come up with a yes or no whether it's true or not. So.
And beginning next week, we're going to be using the services of a professional editor,
right,
on the podcast to maybe kind of make us sound better and, you know, cut out whatever little idiosyncrasies that we have.
Right.
And that we still aim to try and have it released on
Wednesday.
Yeah.
On Wednesday every week. However,
yeah, Wednesday,
it may get pushed to Thursday.
Yeah, Wednesday night. Yeah, Wednesday night.
But it may actually get pushed back to Thursday evening, depending on how well we work with the editor as far as us sending stuff, them sending it back, that kind of thing.
Right.
So it may affect when the next episode is available to hear. It may not. It may change nothing.
Yeah.
So we just wanted to let you guys know. So if you're one of those that's sitting there, waiting on us to put something out, then it may be a day later this time. So,
but hopefully starting next week, it'll sound better.
Let's hope. Yeah, I'm still trying to transcribe that first episode, and I'm pulling my hair out between you and I talking over each other.
Uh-huh.
To the and ums, which I've finally just decided not to put in the transcription.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you need to put those in there unless it's, essential to the whole thing.
Now, there's a few that are in there that are needed for the pause that it gives.
Right.
But other than that, no. This is not an exact transcription, guys. So. Of course, I've not had anybody request a transcription just yet. So, But hopefully within the next month or so, we'll have a few available.
Yeah. All right, guys. So we'll be back again next week. Did we say what we're doing next week?
Next week, I think we're going to start with maybe some of Tom's more visible commercials. Maybe some of the commercials he probably should not have done. I think you know the one I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I mean, I can think of like three commercials. Has he done more than that?
He did the Jaguar commercials.
Right.
He did the
That embarrassing
one. Yeah, the embarrassing one. Yeah. And what's the third one that you're thinking? Because there's a couple.
I thought there was like more than one Jaguar commercial.
Oh, there's several. There's a yeah. series.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, yeah. There's the series of Jaguar commercials.
Okay.
All right. And then the one that he did. Although if I woke up and Tom Hiddleston was cooking me breakfast in my kitchen, I don't think I'd give a damn what he said. So.
Nah, all right. Yeah.
So given that, still, you know, a 29-year-old or a 31-year-old advertising Central Silver is kind of
Yeah.
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 But anyway, and it was never released here in the U.S. either, so.
I understandably. It's a silly commercial.
It's a cute commercial.
It's a silly commercial.
It's adorable.
Well, I mean, he's a good-looking dude.
No,
but
he's just adorable.
Yeah.
I mean, I could actually see him treating his lady this way. I really could.
Well, he's definitely a sub. Hey. So I could see him being in that kind of role.
There is nothing wrong with a guy being a sub.
And it's not. I'm just saying that that's what he is, obviously. Nothing wrong with it.
And the emails come flooding in. Yeah. At least they'll all be nasty for you.
Everybody knows I'm right. Everybody knows I'm right. All right.
Anyway, all right, guys. We'll put something together. We'll be back with you next week. And not this episode, but next episode is when we start working with the editor. So
yeah,
that one's the one that may be delayed a bit.
So if this one still sounds like crap, you know why.
Yeah, and if the next one sounds like crap, let us know so we can holler at the editor.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. We'll see you next week.
Bye, guys.